Hello, I'm Tom Rollins, president of The Teaching Company. These lectures are part of the Superstar Teachers series. They are produced by The Teaching Company. The lectures on these tapes are titled How to Listen to and Understand Great Music, Part 5, 19th Century Romanticism. The lecturer is Professor Robert Greenberg of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Professor Greenberg graduated magna cum laude from Princeton University and received his master's degree and PhD with distinction in music composition from the University of California at Berkeley in 1984. He is currently chair of the Department of Music History and Literature at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Professor Greenberg is also an award-winning composer and a recent recipient of a commission from the Koussevitzky Foundation of the Library of Congress. You may also know him as the resident composer and music historian for National Public Radio's weekend edition of All Things Considered. Lecture 33, Introduction to Romanticism.
Welcome back to How to Listen to and Understand Great Music. This is Lecture 33, and it is entitled Introduction to Romanticism. My friends, there are great difficulties in separating classical-era music from romantic-era music. These period terms can sometimes be as misleading as they can be helpful, and this differentiation between classical-era music and romantic-era music is what we would call in academia problematic. That's one of those words one uses, like ambiguous or tautology or the phrase, it seems to me. These are phrases of academia not usually encountered in the real world, but problematic is the right word in this case because there's tremendous musical continuity from 1770, from the high classical style, through the 19th century, through what we call the Romantic era. From the classical era to Romantic era is an evolutionary development, not a revolutionary change. For example, from Baroque to classic, from 1720 to 1770, was a very revolutionary change, ultimately a big break in terms of melody, harmony, rhythm, and expressive content. Ditto, the difference between Renaissance and Baroque from 1580 to 1620 was a revolutionary change. But we do not see such a absolute break between the classical era and the romantic era. For example, if we could have Mozart here today, and what a wonderful thing that would be, and we asked him to listen to the music of Schubert, Mendelssohn, and Brahms and react to it, he would react, I think, favorably about all three, although he would probably find Brahms a little bit thick and congested. But he would still recognize a common melodic language, harmonic language, and rhythmic language common with his own classical era language. So this is a very important point. There's not an absolute break, but an evolutionary change between what we will call classicism and romanticism, and I will define that change over the course of the next few minutes. First, let us define romanticism, romantic. The adjective romantic comes from romance, which had an original literary meaning of a tale or a poem treating historical personages or events and written in one of the Romance languages, that is, one of the languages descended from Roman or Latin. The medieval poems dealing with King Arthur, or as they say in Long Island, King Garther, were called Arthurian romances, for example. Hence, when the word romantic first came into use around the 17th century, it carried connotations of something far off, legendary, fictitious, fantastic, and marvelous, an imaginary or ideal world which was contrasted with the actual world of the present. So our use of the word romantic does not refer to physical love. It refers rather to something that is boundless, fantastic, far off, and marvelous. Listen, the 20th century illiterate, when met with something incredible, says, far out, man. The 19th century version of this individual would have said, most romantic, dude. So that's our usage of the word. Please, far out, boundless, incredible, fantastic.